All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Want to thank you for those of you who were able to make it to church this evening. Sure is a blessing to see all of you who are here this evening. I hope and pray that you have a good rest of your night. I know that some of y'all are tired from work, but it's a part of life, amen? You know what that Bible says, if we don't work, we don't eat. And so tonight, guys, let's just continue to rejoice in God's goodness that he has blessed us with. A lot of the times we tend to forget the blessings of life, breath, movement, being, the ability to walk, to see, to talk, to have limbs, the ability to have a roof over our head, the opportunity that we have to work, amen. There's so many things that we tend to forget, and tonight it's always good to just bless God and thank God and just lift hands and worship him for how good he's been to us. The most important, of course, we all know church is salvation, amen. But aside from that, he's been blessing you with temporal blessings. He's been blessing you with food. Like Sister Eileen said, he makes that rain to fall on that earth. He gives it sunlight, amen. So he's been good to you before you got saved, after you got saved, and he's going to continue to be good. So tonight, I hope you came here for Jesus Christ to worship him. All right, this evening, before we continue with our study, I just want to give you guys some quick announcements. So tomorrow, as you guys know, I've been invited to minister at that Baptist college. And tomorrow night, as I've been telling you that our Thursday outreach at the Sunset Market is canceled, I thought initially that it was going to be in the evening. But the lecture class for the chapel is going to be at 10:30 in the morning. And so we're going to be going in the morning. So I just want to ask you, church, for those of you who are here tonight, please pray for me. I'm going to ask you to pray for me before we go. And that'll be a very, very helpful because I need all the prayers that I can get. I want to be able to be a blessing and a benefit to other Christians with the Word of God. So it's going to be an awesome opportunity for me as your pastor to see how the Lord is going to allow me to continue to grow and also to build relationships with other Christians and give me opportunities to stretch my faith, put into application all the knowledge that I've gained from Bible school and my own personal reading, and then to be able to offer that to other Christians to edify them and to encourage them with the Word of God. So please give me a prayer tomorrow. It's going to be up there in Laverne, California, and it's going to be awesome. And so please just give me a prayer for that. I sure appreciate that. this Friday night, discipleship class will be back here, Lord willing, 7 o'clock. Saturday, soul winning. Okay, we're going to be back here 10 o'clock to 12, door knocking, take a break, go downtown to the beach from about 12, you know, right after we're done, essentially to about 2:30. And that's it. So I hope that we can see more of you guys in our soul winning outreach. Remember, our working and our laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you wake up. That's why God has blessed you with the ability to have strength in your body, work, not only to use your funds to help your church, but also to use your body to serve your church and to reach the lost. Amen. And so we'll be back here. On the 25th, remember that is the Imperial Beach Outreach. So we're going to go help out Brother Angel. If you can join us on the 25th, that's towards the end of the month. That's going to be a blessing. We're going to go help door-to-door outreach. And of course, we may have some fun fellowship, maybe get some food or lunch after. And two Saturdays on the 18th, we're going to modify the soul winning outreach because my wife and I are going to go meet with another pastor in Corona, California. And so we're going to leave before 2 o'clock. So we may not do the downtown outreach, or we may do the downtown in the morning and then call it a day, or just do the door to door and call it a day on the 18th. So we'll see what the direction is. And then last Friday of the month, we'll go downtown to the Regal. Oh, wait, no. Last Friday, we're going to be moving. So that's where we're going to need some the church members to help us out. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. Amen. Keep us in prayer for that. So with that said, do me a favor, guys. Those are the announcements. I hope you guys are having a good week. And let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles together now. I'm just going to remind you guys of the verses that we've been studying. And guys, I am so happy tonight. I get to use my brand new Bible. Amen. It's very nice and new. Oh, yeah, smells good too. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 10. You guys already know these verses. You guys should know them a little bit by now. You may not know yet the chapter verse, but you should know the content that Brother Carlos and Sister Katie have been provoking some of you unto love and good works. We've been texting you on Saturdays. We've been calling you. Amen. And we're going to continue to do that until the rapture. And we're going to continue to encourage you to serve Jesus. And the way that you do that is by laboring, by working for Jesus Christ. And again, just like I use that analogy for those of you who get a job in the world, when you are just hired on, someone is training you on the duties for which you, your application qualified for that company to put confidence in you to carry out. They taught you either how to make coffee, they taught you how to run the cash register, they taught you how to fold clothes, they taught you how to do whatever. Same thing, but in a spiritual sense, God gave you a pastor to teach you how to serve and work for Jesus. And what does that look like? Well, right now you're opening up the Bible. That's good. One of these days, you guys have been in times past, door-to-door knocking with us and soul winning, public outreach, soul winning, discipleship for Friday night, you know, getting knowledge to help teach other Christians. That's me training you to do the job that Christ hired you for. And so, guys, let's continue to do that. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25. These are just, again, reminder verses to encourage you. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So God already told us that there are going to be some of his children that are going to want to forsake coming to church, that are not going to want to come to church, that are not going to want to come on time, I'm going to add that, who are not going to want to labor, who are not going to want to work, who are not going to want to love. That's why God told us to provoke you to not forsake. Don't give up loving God enough to serve him. Don't give up loving God and his church to serve them. Don't do what some do. And if they do, don't excuse yourself. You be faithful to your Savior, because remember, your parents didn't die for you, Christ did. Your pastor didn't die for you, Christ did. Your family, your cousins, your uncles, your nieces, your aunts, it's only Jesus. So if he did that for you, obey him. He'll be all right. You'll be all right. One more. Go with me to Titus chapter 3. Remember that I've just been giving you these verses on laboring for Jesus. Titus, the third chapter. I think we can just... We could probably just, we'll probably just have everybody here tonight. You know, it's going to be a small, it'll be good. So Titus chapter number 3, look at what that Bible says. Titus 3, look at what God says in verse number 1. Again, notice what I said. I said, Brother Carl, look at what I am reminding you that God said. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to be magistrates. And what does it say there? To be ready to every good work. So as a Christian, God expects for you to be ready to every good work. So again, remember how I shared with you weeks ago that if the person who led you to Christ forgot to tell you that it's a commitment to serve Christ, it's a lifelong process to learn about not only Jesus Christ being your Savior to save you from going to hell, but it's a lifelong process to let Jesus teach you that he's the Lord. And what does that mean? He's the master. He commands you, and you ought to obey and say, yes, my Lord, I am ready to serve you for all that you've done for me. So God said he wants you ready for every good work. Saturday, be ready. Prepare yourself to serve and work for him with your church family. Look at what it says later on down. It says here in verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So tonight, for all of us, including myself, according to the Bible, it is good and it's profitable for you and I to be constantly reminded that we ought to maintain good works. Not only is it going to be profitable for you, but your work will profit someone else that you're serving or helping, if that makes sense this evening. And so, church, just know this is not just the Brother Carlos trying to get me to do something I don't want to do. No. This is your God giving you commands that he expects for you to do as a saved saint. So he's going to eternally preserve your soul. So you ought to serve him right now while you're in the temporal time zone of earth life. You understand? Amen. All right, guys. So with that said, I just want to encourage you. And then last couple of announcements, guys, before we get to the message. You guys already know, at any time, you can give to your church. We have a box back there. You can give online. We have upgraded, y'all. Look at that. We got the Venmo going on there. We got the PayPal going on there. We're just missing Zelle for Sister Eileen, but no, I'm just kidding. But There's plenty, amen. There's ways for you to give to your church to support the needs. You guys are to know that God is going to meet your need when you trust Him enough to obey that area of your life. And guys, we can't outgive God. But you know, we don't preach tithing. We're not here to coerce you. We are expecting for you over the years to learn now that as much as God has done so much for you in love and the Bible and doctrine, that you would want to serve Him the best you can out of love for Him. And so whenever He begins to show you a truth, that you'd be excited to just say, man, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to do that for everything He's done for me. Amen. All right, guys, let's get to the message. Do me a favor. Turn your Bibles now to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles there together. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Tonight's message is titled, The Command to Minister versus the Call to Preach. The Command to Minister versus the Call to Preach. As you guys make your way to Ephesians, I'm going to go ahead and begin to give you a couple of references in your Bible concerning certain words and how many times they are used in your Bible. The word ministration appears 7 times. Ministers, 26 times. Ministry, 22 times. Ministered, 37 times. Ministering, 9 times. Minister, 100 times. The word preach appears 50 times. Preached, past tense, 61 times. Preacher, 11 times. Preaching, 27 times. Preacheth, with the TH at the end, 3 times. Preacheth, EST at the end, 1 time. I want to let you know, guys, that ministering, or the command to minister, is mentioned more times than preach, preaching, or preached. As a matter of fact, it's about 50 more times the difference. So if you ask me, Brother Carlos, what should I get out of just learning how many times that word is mentioned in our Bible? I should learn about what ministering means. I should also learn about what preaching means. But if there is an expectation for all of us here tonight to be ministers, and if I can show you from the Bible that you have that responsibility, not just Brother Carlos because he has a title, then you ought to be ministering. And so before we get the recognition, before we get the title, tonight I just want to let you know the theme. Before you feel the call to preach, you already have a command to minister. Without the heart of a minister, your preaching will be in vain. But with the heart of a minister, your preaching will be filled. So with that said, Ephesians chapter 4, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for all those that came to church tonight. Lord, it sure blesses my heart to see the saints that were able to make it here tonight. Lord, I don't know where the other ones are tonight, but I want to pray for them this evening. I ask and pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would comfort them. And Lord, if something happened, God, I pray that you'll take care of them. I hope they're all right. And Lord, for those who aren't here, Lord, who could be here, I pray, Lord, that you convict them from the Bible, that, Lord, they shouldn't forsake the assembly, God, but they should come every time we're here, Lord, because we are here to learn more about you, the life giver. You have the words of eternal life, God. You have the words that can bring peace into our lives where there's hate. You have the words that can put love back into our lives where there is anger and unforgiveness all around us in this world. Lord, your word and the assembling of your word underneath the pastor, God, is where you want us to be to keep learning, to keep growing. So tonight, God, we pray that you'd strengthen the members. And Lord, I just pray that you would remove me out of your way now, Lord. I just want to be a vessel through whom your Holy Spirit can minister. And Lord, wherever I have a human error in my presentation, I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to their spirits the living word of God. So God, thank you for all these precious saints here tonight. God, please give them what they need to hear tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. My wife, may you do me a favor and give me a cup of water, please. Appreciate that. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, let's read together. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Thank you so kindly, sister. Appreciate you. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you see that, church, in verse number 1? The Bible says that you walk worthy of the vocation with ye are called. So every single one of us has a vocation. You say, Brother Carlos, what is a vocation? It's a job. It's an employment. It's a calling. It's an occupation. It's a trade. It's a word that includes professions as well as mechanical occupations. So according to the Bible, every single born-again Christian on the planet, regardless of which church they go to, they are commanded to work. They are commanded to labor because they've been called to do something as soon as they got saved. Tonight, I am going to show you that you are commanded to minister before you're called to preach. And so tonight, guys, look at what it says, that you walk worthy of the vocation with your called, and how are you expected to do that? Well, notice verse number 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Before you feel the need to go preach, and before you think that you should go to some Bible college or some Bible school, or I need to go away to learn more of the deep things of God, like those cool guys on YouTube or social media with some unique fancy video effects behind their teaching. You know what the Bible said there? In your job of being a Christian, in your job of being a minister, you know how you ought to be doing that with the mindset? Lowly, humble. You ought to do it meekly, with meekness. You ought to do it with long suffering. You know that word long suffering? It means that you are suffering long with people. You know that word. It's called being patient. And look at what it says, forbearing one another in love. So guys, before you feel the need of a recognition or a title, or the call to preach, as they say, are you being a minister? Are you just being able to put up with people like you're commanded to here in Ephesians 4, verse 2? Are you forbearing your fellow Christians when they offend you? Are you putting up with the attitude of people around you in life? Or do you find yourself easily enticed to want to avoid somebody just because they rubbed you the wrong way? According to the Bible, you're not being lowly and you're not being meek. You're not being long-suffering, but you're supposed to be. That's why I'm telling you, before you get the recognition of a title and a role in a body of believers, like, oh, he's called a pastor. Well, look how much he can teach. But they don't know how to have patience with people. They're not ready to preach. But they don't know how to just spend time with people to be meek and suffer long with people. They're not ready to preach. So there it is. And then look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the what, church? The unity of the what? Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Every single one of you has the obligation to do your best to keep your church together in unity. If one of you is not striving to keep the body of Christ united, then you're not ready to preach. You're not ready to teach. Because before you get the recognition of that role, you're commanded to minister. And a servant of Christ and a minister of Christ is expected to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit of Christ in the assembly of believers. So tonight, I just want you to start thinking about that now within the marriage. And for those of you who are single, you call yourself a believer, verse number 1, here's how you need to be walking. You call yourself a Christian, verse number 1, here's how you are to be working. You call yourself a believer, then here is the mindset and here is the heart attitude and the spirit in how you perform those things. Are you with me? So I'd like to start with the fact of reminding us all here tonight that we are presently called to labor and serve God in some capacity for Jesus Christ. The idea of a sensation concerning a particular calling might be motivated by other Christians you view around you with certain titles given them. But truly, brother and sister, we are called to do something. Now, I'm not here to prophesy and say you there will do specifically this, or you over there will do specifically that. But what I am saying is that all of you here tonight are called to do this, and that is minister one to another. Every single one of you are commanded to try your best to keep the unity of your church. Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 3, brethren, that's where we're at for those of you who just got in here. So now, listen to these next couple of verses as I begin to paint this picture of the minister in you and the expectation of you to minister to those around you by these following verses. Romans 15:7. The Bible says, "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Every Christian ought to be received by you in your fellowship to help them grow, to help them learn, to help them mature. Why? Because that's the Ephesians 4, 1-3 mindset. I am going to approach every brother and sister with a lowly spirit, with a meek heart. I am going to serve them not for what I can get from them, but for what I can give to them. Anybody here? Sister Kate, that was an amen nugget. Romans 15:14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge." Notice, able also to admonish one another. Ministers are called not only to serve one another, not only to endeavor to keep each other united, and not only to have the good and right spirit behind it, but also to admonish each other. So according to this Bible verse, it's Katie's responsibility to help Sister Eileen stay afloat. It's Sister Eileen's job to help keep Sister Maribel afloat. It's Brother Giovanni's job to keep me afloat. It's Sister Kina's job to keep Sister Maribel afloat. We're all called to receive. We're all called to admonish. We're all called to assist. That's the command of a minister. "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." 1 Corinthians 12, 24-27. You and I are a part of each other. When one of you hurts, we all hurt. When one of us is doing good, we're all rejoicing. But remember, we're all commanded to minister. We're all commanded to meet each other's needs spiritually. So if one of you is unplugged from the source, there's something missing. And if one of you has an attitude or bitterness against another, God said, you're not functioning according to the part for which I put you there for. There should be no schism in my body. And so now, Ephesians 4:1-3, that should be the mentality. God bless you, sister. So, what attribute of God was given us in Christ at our conversion that motivates us to minister one to another? Turn your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm right there with you, y'all. I'm breaking in my new Bible, Brother Giovanni. This thing is awesome. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. We're all turning together. Hope you have a Bible open. Look at verse number 13. What attribute of Christ was given you when you got saved that should motivate you to serve one another for His glory? Verse number 13. "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only," what does it say there? "Use not liberty for what? For an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." When you got saved, you know what Christ imparted unto you? His love. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 that you were not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So tonight, you have enough power, sister, to love. You have enough power, brother, to serve. The question is, are you going to be obedient to choose Christ versus the flesh? I must remind us, brethren, that salvation does not prevent you and I from choosing to hate each other or disrespect each other or treat each other ill or carnally. Salvation provided you liberty to resist doing all those things against each other, to treat each other as Christ treats you and I daily, and that's in love. If you're in Galatians 5, read with me verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But look at 15. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Ministering unto others requires treating others the way Christ treats you daily. Even with the knowledge of particular sins and faults or spots or blemishes that they might possess at any given moment. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy to know that you and I have certain things that come short of God's glory, and yet God expects for you to treat that other person just like Christ would? Isn't it crazy to know that even though you may not know about things about me and I might not know about things about you, Christ treats you the same every single day. So tonight, church, we are all called and commanded to minister. But you have to choose to love Christ enough to do it His way, not your way. I want you to listen to these verses now concerning the heart of a minister. Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You say, "Brother Carlos, why should I forgive him?" Because Christ forgave you. "But brother, you don't understand what she did to me," but Christ forgave you. "How can I put up with them every time I try to talk to them?" Because Christ put up with you. So now, if you think about it, Ephesians 4, 1-3, the mindset of a minister, it's loving as Christ loves. It's serving as Christ served. It's forbearing like Christ forbeared. If you find yourself here tonight lacking that, it's because you're lacking Christ. You're lacking the mind of Christ. You don't have, if you will, insufficient access to Christ. The Bible says you've been born again. You have the Holy Spirit. He gives you access to God. So tonight, what you're lacking is conformity to the image of the Son of God. I don't know why you want to continue in that for whoever might be struggling here tonight, but you could have so much more happiness if you just love that person the way Christ commands you to. Ephesians 5:19, the Bible says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The Bible says in Ephesians 5:29, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And then 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." You cannot grow as a Christian without going to church. You cannot grow as a Christian when you're by yourself, without no one to love, without no one to forbear, without no one to put up with, without no one to forgive, without no one to admonish, without no one to sing unto, or without anyone singing unto you. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is not a life of isolation. It's a life of unity. It's a life of assembly. It's a family. So ministers, what are we all called to do? We're all called to be kind to each other. We're all commanded to be tender-hearted. We're all commanded to be forgiving. We're all commanded to sing to each other, to encourage each other, to love each other, teach each other, admonish one another. Ministering, brethren, this is what I would like to talk with you about this evening. I believe ministering is the key that unlocks the doors ahead of your vocation in the body of Christ. I believe that if we don't have a grasp or a hold on this subject first, it will be more difficult to try and cultivate it later on in this life, trying to force it into our forced position of service. In other words, if you applied for a position in a church, you get the title. You work in that duty, but you don't have the heart of a minister unto those around you. You will not be spiritually beneficial to those around you because the flesh could only serve for so long until times of trial or offense comes from those around you. But if you could first learn that ministry precedes the title or the position that you seek, before you know it, you will easily transition into that role without necessarily trying to force your way into it because your heart from the beginning was service to others, not recognition from others. I hope I can be a benefit to you this evening as a fellow brother in the body of Christ. And obviously, I'm a friend to many of you this evening. My primary focus is not so much what I could teach you per se, but how I can serve you. So, here we have it. Number one, turn your Bible now to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. What is the theme of tonight's message? We're all commanded to minister. The command to minister versus the call to preach. You're going to hear that a lot in your independent Baptist friends and circles, and sometimes you're going to hear those and watch those videos online. "I felt the call to preach, brothers, when I was blah, blah, blah," and they begin to tell you their testimony. Nothing wrong with that. I understand what they mean. But were they being a servant before that? Were they a minister before they felt the call? A lot of people just want to get behind a pulpit so that way they can just give some knowledge that they think they possess. but they don't want to have a heart to just be able to put up with people before they can teach the people. Tonight, that is my heart for you in this message. Before the title, before the recognition, brother and sister, you already have a command to minister, and that's a servant, and that's all of us here tonight. Look at Matthew 8 with me, verse 14. Bible says, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. That's the very first mention of the word minister in your Bible. And who do we have it here? Peter's mother-in-law. When Jesus came to the house, she was sick. He healed her. And according to the record of Scripture, immediately after her healing, she began to minister to him and the disciples. I have a question for you. After you recovered from your sickness, did you guys start coming to church on time? Maybe a little bit earlier to help vacuum, take out the trash, clean? How many of you actually served Jesus right after you got well from being sick? Anybody? I want you to see now the heart of a servant. The servant's sick. The servant gets better. The servant, in gratitude to the doctor, says, "Doctor, how can I help you? What can I do in giving you thanks?" Well, the way you can show Jesus that is by serving him, by serving his people. First example you have here tonight is a woman, by the way. All of you ladies here tonight, you could be a great minister to Christ and your church. You get sick, you're MIA for a minute, you get well, what do? Man, get back in church. Get back to helping people. You can write that. You can read the cross reference in Luke chapter 4. Second example, let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. It's good to see those pages turning, man. Look it with me now. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 21. The Bible says here, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. He said unto her, What wilt thou? She said to him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Now, unfortunately, this request from John and James' mama didn't sit so well with the other disciples. But here's what Christ redirects their attention to. Read with me later in verse number 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you." Now listen carefully. You call yourself a follower of Jesus? Then believe him. Show me that you do by obeying this verse with me. Look at here now. "But whosoever will be great among you," what did he say now? "Let him be your minister." "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your" what? Anybody? "Servant." So according to your Bible, you're reading with me, what is the command? Minister. What is a minister? A servant. You know what Jesus said? "That's great in my sight." Now the unbelievers out there, you know, like your supervisor at work, your bosses, they're going to treat you however they want to treat you. That's what Gentiles do when they have authority. Can I get an amen? "You clean. I don't care about your feelings. You do this because I am hiring you." I get it. But you come to church, it's the complete opposite. You serve because Christ commanded you to. You help because Christ commanded you to. You minister because of Christ, the Lord, commanding you to, and your love for him in return. So here's how Jesus responds. He's trying to fix the state of their heart. He's dealing with that problem. And that's what I call disciple syndrome. We'll get to that in a minute. I want you to see there. Let's keep reading. Verse number 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So if you're following with me tonight in your Bible, hope you are, look at verse number 28. What are the first five words? "Even as the Son of Man." Oh, sorry, six. "Even as the Son of Man." So then who is your example, brother and sister? It's not Pastor Carlos with the title. It's not your favorite person you'd like to listen to. It's not your wife, your spouse, your children, your uncle, it's Jesus. Look at what he said. "I am giving you a command to serve each other like I'm serving you. I am giving you a command to minister to each other like I'm ministering to you. Tonight, do you want to be a happier minister for Christ? Then do it because that was Christ's example. Don't do it for the flesh. Don't do it for recognition. Don't do it for the title. You do it because that's the example that Christ gave you. He gave his life, the Bible says, a ransom for many. So now let's quickly observe this redirection. The Gentiles. You know, those Gentiles, how they act in their culture, their social living amongst their people. They lord over their people with authority and dominance. They control people. That's just how they do it. That's how the world is. They have no feeling about you when you're out there serving their demands and their needs. You're required to by force. You need that money, so you'll do whatever it takes. And they're going to treat you however they want. They don't have the heart of a servant. B, Jesus said amongst his disciples, that's not how it's going to be amongst you. But you, disciples of me, y'all better not act like those Gentiles over there with dominance and lordship. And then C, you want to be great? You want to be a leader? You want to feel and work for that call to preach, brother and sister, as they say? You know what it starts with? It starts with this. It starts with getting on your knees and serving. It starts with getting on your knees and meeting needs. You know what Jesus said at the Last Supper, everybody? He got on his knees and he washed the feet of the disciples. You know who was there? All of them. Peter, who denied him. Everybody who had an issue, he washed their feet. That's the heart of a minister. That's why I'm telling you guys, it goes contrary to what you and I are used to in this world. If you are ministering for recognition, you're not ministering Christ-like. You're ministering after the flesh. But if you're ministering Christ-like on the knee and serving others, you know who Jesus is going to recognize? That minister. He said, lastly in D, even as the Son of Man. Even as the Son of Man. So notice, y'all, as much as I love a pastor of the church and the various leaders, those who respect and admire, who are renowned in your inner circle up there in the mind of great teachers you look up to, Christ should be your primary example to follow concerning ministry and service to others. But why? Because when all those other sinners fail in one point because of their flesh, the weaknesses of their body, your heart will be hurt, you will feel deceived, and you will get offended, and you will be moved to want to stop in service towards them and others because you forgot who the primary example should be, and that's Jesus. I want to emphasize with you this evening, because if you haven't noticed by now, none of us are perfect. At some point in this walk, in your church, even in your family, someone will offend you, or you will offend someone else. But what marks the heart of a minister? Service unto them, even as the Son of Man. So what's a quick reminder? He died on the cross for sinners who rejected him. He was despised by them. He was mocked by them. He was reviled by them. He was spat upon by them. And yet, how was his ministration to others exhibited? He gave his life a ransom for many. He gave his life still. He didn't quit. He went all the way. So, we're not there in the notes. But ministry is a life. It is a live sacrificial giving to others who will not say thank you all the time, who will not acknowledge you all the time for the little things that you do. And you know what, guys? They might not even appreciate you all the time. They might even do you dirty and sin against you every once in a while. But Christ said, if you want to be great, you need to follow me. You need to serve others like I did. Here's a side nugget. You know who were the best servants in the days of Christ? Anybody here today? Who were the best servants of Christ during his first advent? It was the women. From the early days of Christ's ministry to the cross, you know who was there ministering unto the Lord? Many women, your Bible says. You can read that in Matthew 27 and 55 and also Mark 15, 41. I'm telling you, sisters, you guys can be so encouraging to your pastor, to your church. Women have so much energy and design skills. Sister Eileen helping out back in the day, and Sister Kate and all y'all, Sister Maribel, you guys can do so much for Jesus Christ. Amen. Those were the best ministers back there in the first advent. How about that? All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. This is where I'm going to get into now, called disciple syndrome, and you better watch out for it. It'll get you every once in a while. I want you to think about it like a bug. Some of y'all say, Brother Carlos, I'm feeling sick. My throat's getting dry. And then you say, it's going around, right? You guys say that it's going around. We all catch it. We understand what you're trying to say. I need to warn you about this disciple syndrome. And no, it doesn't come from China. Anybody? No? Okay. I thought I'd try there, Brother Giovanni. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 35. This bug doesn't come from China, man. That bug it comes from right here. It comes from sin in your heart. Mark 10, 32. Look at what the Bible says. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. You know what Christ just told them? He just presented them the gospel. Fellas, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to die soon. They're going to persecute me soon. They're going to betray me soon. But don't worry, I'm going to rise again. So look at what he is teaching them at the very moment. But what's going on in the minds of the disciples? Are you ready? This is what I call disciple syndrome. Listen now. Verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Wait a second, James and John. Your master just told you something that he's going to accomplish for you. And your attitude is more on yourself than Christ. You're thinking about what he can give you when he just told you he's going to die soon? What's going on? Listen now. Listen. Look at verse number 36. He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. Now, later on, verse number 41, you ready for the disciple syndrome? When the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Church, what I want to point out to you tonight, the disciples didn't like each other at times. The disciples got annoyed with each other at times. The disciples complained and murmured against each other at times. Guys, it's going to be like that. At your church, you will be annoyed by someone. At your church, you might feel disgruntled by a request or a petition or by the conduct of another disciple. But can I remind you what your Lord commanded you to do in return? Keep reading with me now, friend. Look at how he responds. Verse number 42. Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, as far as the disciples getting upset with each other, I don't think that could be anyone here tonight. Anybody? Mm-hmm. After Christ responds to them, listen to the observation. He tells them, you know those unbelievers out there? You know those Gentiles? They were accounted for their position. Somehow, some way, your boss, your supervisor, the owner, they earned that position. They work their way up in that world to get to rule over others. And once they get to that role or position, they technically have the ability and the authority to rule and lord how they see fit over others. So tonight, application, you make it through your spiritual training in your church. You volunteer. You show your colors. The brethren lay their hands on you. You're official now. You get the title. You get the role, pastor, deacon, whatever that might be. But you got to be careful now. Because once you're in that position, you're delegating that authority, it's not the same as the supervisor at Walmart or the CEO of your company. Because if you want Christ accounting of you to place you in a position of authority over other of his disciples, you know what he expects for you first to be? Their servant. Again, what's the theme of this message I'm bringing you this evening? The command to minister. If you can get a hold of this now, friend, you will be spiritually ready and equipped for what the Lord might have in store for you later on for a role or a position he'll consider you for, because you've shown him that you're worthy of it by serving in humility those around you first. Other women who served Christ after their healing and recovering, Mary Magdalene. Remember, she was the one who the Lord cast out 7 devils. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, many others. You know what the Bible says about them in Luke 8, 2 through 3? Which ministered unto him of their substance. Women were the greatest disciples of Christ. Unlike us men who are stingy with the pocket money to give to Jesus, these women gave of their substance to Christ's needs. They cooked for Jesus. They served Jesus. They took care of his hunger at times. Perhaps they assisted him in his lodging at times. I'm just here to encourage you that you women can be such a strong minister for Jesus and your church. Now, how is that some brothers and sisters are more motivated in their service to the Lord than others and who aren't? You know who I'm talking about tonight? You know that there are those around you who are laboring faithfully behind the scenes, cleaning when no one is watching, vacuuming when no one's watching, spending quality time with folks no one might care for as much when no one's watching. And I think I might have an answer to that question. It's love. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 7. We're almost done. Luke chapter 7. I want to teach you now from the Bible why it is that some disciples of Jesus have more love for him than others. And that's because of their love. If you find yourself here tonight, not excited, not as zealous, not as happy for the humble opportunity of the vocation with your call to just serve him, brother and sister, I just want to ask you, have you checked your heart meter recently? Have you made sure that you love him? Have you made sure that you're thankful for him? Because that's what's going to compel you to serve him of your substance. I don't know about you, friend, but if I got 7 devils cast at me, I will follow that man all the rest of the days of my life. Amen. Luke 7, verse 36. Hope you have your Bible there. Bible says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, by the way, people talk to themselves, anybody out there? This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say on to thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors, that is, people who owe the creditor money. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them, now listen how Jesus asked him the question, which of them will love him most? I want you to see how Jesus didn't say serve. I want you to see, not necessarily give, but I want you to see how Christ is asking him this question of the stories he's painting for him. Which of them will love him for the forgiveness? Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, he's talking to Simon the Pharisee, her sins. Now listen what Jesus said, guys. He knows that there are many. He knows you have a lot of sins. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Look at the first half. Which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Can I just share with you tonight, church, a friendly reminder? Do you know what will keep you happy serving others? Is your love for Jesus. This woman was a sinner. Christ acknowledged that. Somehow, some way, this woman was able to make her way to that house where she heard about this man sitting in that evening. Not much detail is given about this woman other than that she was a sinner. Perhaps she was a prostitute. Many commentators say a harlot. The Holy Spirit said she was a sinner. It's safe to say this, that you know what she had? She had committed sins over the years of her life. And those sins became heavy weights upon her life. You know, like a weight of every sin, Hebrews 12:1. But something in this woman compelled her to get to that man she's heard about. What about Jesus made her want to get to him? She's clearly unashamed to make herself seen out there in town, you understand? Friendly reminder for the theme of this chapter, Jesus Christ is attempting to teach the priests and the pastors of Israel whose hearts had gotten so hardened against the mercy of God through their traditions, they became cold to sinners who desire to seek God's mercy and repentance and God seeking to restore their lives personally. Did you see the key words here, friend, in Luke 7? There was a debtor who owed and another debtor who owed the creditor. Remember that? And the creditor forgave them both. And what Christ asked him was very powerful. He said, which of them will love him most? And they turn to the woman and finishes the story. So, brother and sister, do you know why certain of y'all are so motivated, so energetic, so zealous to want to serve Jesus and be a part of his church and serve others the best you can? It's because of your love for him, for what he's done for you, how he's forgiven you. Do you know why some of y'all might not be as motivated? You might not be as energetic. You might not be as zealous to involve yourself in the church. It's because of your lack of love for him. Because perhaps you've forgotten what he's done for you. And because you've forgotten your first love, that's why the feelings of wanting to give up on others, it begins to be entertained by you. Brother and sister, do you know what's going to keep you motivated serving him for the rest of your life? It is not your love for the pastor. It is not your love for the teacher. It's not your love for the people. It's your love for Jesus. Anybody here? Because your love for Jesus will compel you to love everyone else for their benefit, not your own. Ministry, therefore, should be performed by your love for Jesus, for what he's done for you. The forgiveness he's forgiven you. The restoration he's done in your life. The redemption he's redeemed you. The healing he's done within your heart and your mind. He should be your reason of wanting to do all that he commands you to do, even when those commands are administered through one of his disciples, and that's your pastor this evening. So before I close, what I want to share with you, let's just go to a few more verses. Luke chapter 16, you're already in Luke. Luke 16. Before the position, before the title recognition of the gift he's given you, remember Galatians 5, by love serve one another. And that's going to be as a response for your love for Jesus. Jesus looks over our hearts. He's preparing a particular role for the body. And he already taught us what he's looking for and expecting, the heart of a servant. Not just any type of servant, a faithful servant. Look at Luke 16, verse number 10. The Word of God says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Brother and sister, if you cannot prove to Jesus your faithfulness to do the least things, you will not be ready for the much things. Let me repeat that. Brother and sister, if you cannot prove to Jesus your faithfulness to do the least things, you will not be ready for the much things. Can I give you some of those examples? Obedience to your parents, for those of you who are young children. Obedience to your teachers? What about submission and obedience to your church, the leadership? What about your church volunteer duties? What about just cleaning up when no one's looking? What about just taking out the trash when no one's looking? What about calling somebody when you're asked to call? What about a fellowship visit for someone? What about evangelism opportunities? Whatever opportunity becomes available to you, do it faithfully because he's watching you tonight, church. Laugh half of this message, but we're going to close a little bit earlier. I just like to dedicate to the purpose of Christian discipleship. What is the overall long-term goal that God expects of us to learn, to adapt to, and to conform to from all of our gatherings? A few more verses. Go to Romans chapter 8. We're almost done. Romans chapter 8. Turn with me now to verse number 29. Romans 8, verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29, the Bible says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Conformity to the Trinity, but specifically the Son of God. Church, it is conformation, that is conforming to his person, his heart, his mind, his desires, his life, his faithfulness, his character, his attributes. Not conformity to a tradition, not conformity to a man or a set list of rules or regulations, but to the image of God's Son. Charity, meekness, all of those innate attributes that the Holy Spirit gives you, my friend, that is the conformity that's going to help you to be a minister, and that's what's going to prepare you for the future. Before I close, for those of you who are preparing yourself for the work, the vocation wherewith you are called, do not wait until you get the title recognition. Your gifts are in you now. You have the spiritual inheritance of His glory in you now. The question is, are you using the gifts that you've been given properly with the right heart, the right spirit, the right attitude in your service unto others before you get that recognition? Brothers and sisters, I am so impressed that you guys came to church this evening and you are continuing to dedicate yourself to Christ in some capacity. Right now, you're being equipped, even now, through the training that's before you here in your church. But just remember the balance that is required in the ministry. Before you feel the call to preach, you've already been given a command to minister. How you obey that right now will determine whether or not you'll get that role or duty in the body. Whatever opportunity that lies before you for the work of service for our Savior, I just want to encourage you to do it wholeheartedly. There is no greater joy. There is no other source of happiness that I would rather have than being here with you all tonight, ministering unto you. From my past to my present, I can testify to you all, the world out there is nothing compared to the new world in here. Amen. I'm not worthy to be here before you this evening to bring this lesson of encouragement, but I just want to tell you that it's a huge honor. And I want to let you know that it is the heart of a minister that has changed my life. Before I thought about all the aspects of, oh, I'm called to preach and all this, as soon as I began to learn the Bible concerning my expected command, guys, it was a lot easier and better to get there because I wasn't necessarily now striving to work for the recognition. I was striving to work for the admonition that Christ gave me, that I better be a servant to you. Let me leave you with these last notes and we'll go back to our base text. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 2 and then we'll go back to Ephesians 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then we'll go back to our base text in Ephesians chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, and then we will go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll come to a close. Remember, we are all called and commanded to minister. Before the title, before the recognition, don't worry. You have already been given a command, my brother and sister, on what to do and how to do it before the recognition of that particular role in the body. Notice here now, my friend, in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." How many of you believe that a man must be born again in order to go to heaven? How many of you guys believe that? Raise your hand. Why do you believe that? Anybody? Why do you believe a man must be born again in order to go to heaven? Okay, because we can't go on our own. Anybody else? Why must a man be born again in order to get into heaven? Because sin, okay. Anyone else? Okay. You don't have the power and ability, okay. Who said that a man must be born again? Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. Was Jesus God manifest in the flesh? Yes. So by Jesus as God manifest in the flesh, his authority stating mankind must be born again in order to enter into heaven. Is that a command? Is that a requirement for men to be born again? Yes or no? Yes. So you became a Christian. You obeyed the command of Jesus to be born again. You repented. You said, Lord, I'm not going to trust my works, my feelings, my righteousness. I'm going to trust yours. You call upon him. He saves you. He gave a command to now you as a Christian, as his disciple, and as a minister. Are you ready? We're almost done. Listen now. Let's read it one more time. Look at 24. The servant of the Lord, what does it say? Must not strive, but be what? Gentle unto. Now, let's read it in the Greek. You ready? All men. So for those of us who call ourselves a Christian, I'm telling you guys, before you start entertaining Bible school and preaching and, wow, that guy is so cool. Is he gentle unto all men? Do you hear that pastor mocking some men? Do you hear that pastor striving with some men? Because according to the same master that you believed in, you are commanded to be gentle unto all men. That's why I'm telling you, friend, before the call to be over here with the recognition, you're already commanded in here to be a servant. So now listen, Jesus said, you must not strive. You must be gentle. Jesus said to all men, apt to teach, patient. Ephesians 4, we're going to get there. Notice what he says in 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, brother, before you get to preach doctrine, sister, before you think you can start leading a Bible study, you have to show the heart of a minister. You have to be willing to just be patient with Christians when they're making mistakes. You have to be willing to have patience and grace and gentleness with Christians who are living carnal lives. Because if you cannot be patient with a few of your members at this church now, you're not ready to oversee more souls at the same time. Anybody here tonight? So as a servant of the Lord, now I want you to see as a minister, that's a servant, here's how he commands you to minister versus you and the perception of the call to preach and teach. All right, let's go back to our base text and we're closing. Ephesians chapter 4. I can already see it in your faces, amen. I don't have any espresso shots tonight, y'all. I'm sorry. I don't got that taurine, that caffeine for y'all. But I got the Bible. I hope that's motivating enough for y'all to push that flesh, amen. We're going to close now. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Back to our base text, my friend. Bible says, starting now in verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Every single one of you here tonight are called to do what? Serve. You are called to serve Jesus Christ. You are called to work for Jesus Christ. You're not called necessarily to unto a particular role. That's why I'm trying to say, don't worry too much about the recognition, the title. Well, Brother Carlos, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a deacon, but are you a Christian? Are you a servant? Then that's your role. That's your job, amen? All right, listen now. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I want to leave you with this. You and I all have a command to minister. We're not all called with a particular role to preach, per se. That is, oh, you're waiting until you get that, or man, I'm training to get there, that's okay. But if you don't first have the heart of a lowly, meek, patient, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, humble servant, you will not be ready for that future call. If you cannot be found faithful with the few that you have now, you cannot be found faithful with the many later. So tonight, you have an awesome job. I want to encourage you all, it may not seem like much, but guys, your God is watching you. And how he sees your heart respond to the little that he's given you right now is what's going to determine how he wants to use you for the later. Brother and sister, if you think that you'll serve God later on after you achieve some kind of success, then you're not ready. Because you're not striving for that right now with where you're at and with what he's given you. So if you want to be found great in God's sight, serve. Serve who? Every person you see around you. But they're going to hurt you. You serve anyways. But they're going to talk bad about you or gossip behind your back. You serve anyways. Why? Because you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, not the church, not the pastor. You are serving your Savior and your Lord who left you an example. Because what did he say? Even as the Son of Man who gave his life a ransom for many. So Christianity, it's a lifelong commitment of serving people who are undeserving of your service. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. Anybody? Okay, my friends, I want to encourage you tonight. We have a job. Jesus Christ, our boss, our Lord, he told us how to do that job. He told us the kind of heart we need to have. He told us that it includes labor. He taught us how it includes our hands and our feet and our finances. Women did it. Men did it. So can you. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for allowing me to teach the flock this evening, God. Not much tone. We don't need to be high or low pitched, my Lord. We just need to open up the Bible and we just need to read. And we need to trust your example is sufficient for us tonight to live a joyful, happy, and victorious Christian life and our love for you and our love for others, God. Tonight, I am so thankful that all the sisters here tonight have a calling. All the sisters here this evening have a duty. They all have a vocation. They all have a work they can do to serve. I'm so thankful tonight, God, for the men that are here tonight, that likewise, we all have a duty. We all have a vocation. We all have been given the command on how to serve. Lord, before we aspire to the role, the title, the recognition, God, I pray tonight your saints heard that you're looking at them right now. You're judging them right now concerning how faithful they are to what you've given them. And God, I need help to be a better minister. I need help to be more Christ-like in how I love them, how I serve them, how I'm patient with them, how I teach them, how I admonish them, how I forbear them. And they need help too, to be in submission to me, to follow me and to work with me and to support me and my wife in ministering here in our city. So God, tonight, would you please use this message to touch their hearts, to remind their spirits of the mindset that they ought to have every time they come to church. They ought to come lowly. They ought to come meek. They ought to come ready to serve everybody that they see in this building tonight. And God, if we can follow you and your example, you told us we'll be great. We'll be great in your sight. So Lord, thank you that we have an opportunity to walk worthy and to be great before you. Lord, would you help us to get back home safely? And I pray, God, that you would help us to have a good rest of our day and our evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. And I hope you have a great rest of your night. Thank you guys so much for coming. May the Lord bless you.